12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Welcome to The Candlestick Crimes, a Swords of the Serpentine actual play brought to you by 12-Sided Stories. This is a story-heavy, rules-light tale full of action, adventure, and ribaldry. So sit back and enjoy this swashbuckling tale.
Hello, and welcome to The Candlestick Crimes, episode number one. My name is Wes Otis. This is a Sword in the Serpentine actual play, and I have some wonderful players with us. Let us start with Michelle.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and today I will be playing Reginald, but when he is, you know, at the Thieves Guild, he's just Reg. And I'm looking forward to this one. This is going to be fun.
Hi, my name is Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I am playing Tessa Rambo, the muscle, also they, she.
Hello, hello. I'm your non-binary busy bee. My pronouns are they, them, and I am going to be playing Mirko Campagnone, the thief. Their pronouns are also they, them.
And I'm Kay Purcell, she, they pronouns. I'm going to be playing Vimond, who is they, them.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
Awesome. Welcome to Eversink, the city in the swamp, protected by Denari, goddess of trade, gold, and merchants. All of these different wonderful, financially important things for societies to thrive. The city is full of large towers that are slowly sinking into the swamp. Many people in the church think that this is a magical thing going on, corruption that happens when sorcerers cast spells and cause great damage to Denari. Denari walks the streets every once in a while. She is the city. Most of the time, her spirit is in every single stone. But then once a year, she will walk the streets and bless the people. Presently, the four of you are in the Tangle. You've never worked together. You're learning about each other. The Tangle is a place where you go if you have no coin at all, if you feel like Denari's turned a blind eye to you, or if you belong to the Thieves Guild and you just need to get away from all the posh people. Michelle, tell us more about Reginald. Where are they from? And what you're willing to share with the group.
Reginald is a native of Eversink. He's like a third generation thief. Both of his parents were. Well, actually, mom was an assassin, but you know.
Was she French?
I was going to ask the same question.
That was from the book on bounty hunters we did last.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But I don't know. I like to think that Reginald is kind of a fixture in the Thieves Guild. Like they all know who he is, and he's not going to screw over another thief unless there's like a massive score involved. But then, you know, we would all screw each other over for that.
So you have a very interesting reputation within like not only the city, but particularly the Thieves Guild, because you have this like legacy of your family. If you did screw over like too many people, like, wow, that would look really bad or good, depending exactly on how your legacy is portrayed. But I think like, do you have a lot of sway with the Thieves Guild then? A lot of influence?
I think I might. I mean, I definitely have a lot of connections in the Thieves Guild. That's my home base. That's where my politics are, basically, is within that guild. Reginald is tall. He's above average looking, but he's not like gorgeous or anything like that. He's, you know, he's a decent looking guy. Serviceable.
He's an Eversink 6.
Well, he's actually happy that he's not terribly gorgeous or anything like that because it's harder to fit in. He doesn't want to stick out. He wants people to respond well to him, but he doesn't want them to swoon.
You're not the face.
I'm not the face. No, not at all. He is tall. He has dark brown hair. He's slender build. He likes to dress very fancy, and a lot of that just has to do with his con that he's running, because he's conning, you know, the rich. So he has to try and fit in there. He carries a sword, but doesn't really know how to use it. He just carries it to look like nobility or aristocracy. It's really just a little too ornate, but he's got to look the part. I'm going to say he's in a long, dark burgundy coat, you know, with some golden colored embroidery, not actual gold.
For some reason, I think a Devil May Cry, like 4 or something.
I like it.
Dante.
Yeah. Hair.
Okay, let's jump over to B then.
I'm not from Eversink. Mirko, I think, is from just somewhere. You know, they're a little cagey about it. But this town, this city is fabulous to make a living if your living is conning the rich.
So would you say you're an outlander, basically?
Yeah, yeah. Mirko is probably short, a little stocky. Like, they fit in with most crowds, if only for, like, their kind of, like, unassuming build. They wear, I'm trying to think of, like, what's something fun that obscures your face? Maybe, like, a
veil?
Talking, like, Renaissance Italy. A veil? What about a hat? What kind of hat have you gotten?
A hat with
this
a big
time?
Brim?
Yeah.
Oh, like a big, like the big like floofy big ones with
absolutely
the feather.
Yes.
One side pinned up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the feathers are so exotic.
Yes.
Perfect.
Wow.
There was like a place for defining gear. It's the fancy hat with the feather. It's definitely, you know, the hat comes on and off depending on the situation. Do I need to be recognized or am I trying to fit in? Mirko is short, dark skin, hat on, and when they don't have a hat, their hair is like short cropped, easy to put a wig on if you need to fit in. They're sly, charming when needed, witty in conversation, but kind of like an anxious ball when not being obviously observed by whoever they're engaging with. They're kind of curled up into themselves, wringing their hands a little bit, trying to recover the emotional strength to be a human again. Really enjoys hiding, hanging out in creepy corners, you know? But really, I think they really do just want to fit in. They just don't know how. When you're an outlander, you're always the weird one. You're always the odd one out.
That's awesome. Let's talk to Candace real quick. What does your character look like?
Tessa Rambeau is what we in modern times would call a mommy. She is about 6 feet tall, broad shoulders, very muscular. She used to be a member of the Watch. They have very deep brown skin and kind of shoulder to mid-back length kinky hair that they usually kind of keep up and off of their shoulders and back in case they get into any kind of tussles. They're not really like a badass. Badassery is not like high on their list of things to do. Like, they are a badass. That's not really what they lead with.
I was about to say, how can a Candace character not be a badass?
Thank you. So the adjectives that I have for her are confident, affable, strong, gullible, and supportive. They're a little sweetie. So they're no longer in the Watch because their sister was up to no good in nefarious means. Y'all would probably know Tabitha, my sister. She's a wild child.
Your first names for both of these characters send very strong vibes. Tessa and Tabitha.
Good. Good. That's what I was hoping. Tessa is very forgiving. Rather than blame their sister for that, she's just like, oh, the city ain't shit then. I'm a good worker. I'm great at my job. I could have done the right thing. And now I will do the right thing and make ends meet with these thieves over here because that's the only job that I can get. They're very much not interested in, like, killing anybody unless they absolutely have to. And I think just as a little sweetie of a giant femme, they have good looks. I think that they're pretty, but they're also kind of pretty in, like, a more androgynous way. Like, they have a very square jaw, a high forehead that's kind of, you know, on the larger side.
It's like an Eversink 8.
I'd say an Eversink 8, but because they're so, like, dominating in size and stature, people don't look at her like that.
That they know of.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
They are definitely the type that would not know if someone were flirting with them until it was like way too late. Then they're awkward. But just a scrappy little guy that's 6 feet tall.
would flirt with the sweetie of a brick shit house.
Yeah. Yeah. You get it.
All right. Kay.
Vymond is still on the younger side of things. They, you know, are about 5'10", kind of average height. They have kind of an average look when they want to. They have something of a square jaw, features not too sharp or not too soft, but they definitely know how to alter their appearance when need be to kind of fit in wherever they need to. They have black hair that's kind of swept back and just long enough to kind of curl at the nape of the neck a little bit. And they have just one streak of not silver, but blonde gold running through above their left temple. They have these just stunningly pale blue-gray eyes and pale complexion with the only, like, really identifiable, memorable things about them are that gold streak and these dark freckles across their cheeks, which don't look like normal. Like, they're definitely darker than they should be. Otherwise, like, they're average height, average build, try to be very unassuming so they can blend in where they need to. They wear this old style cut tailcoat that is modern but looks much older than the fashions that they should probably be wearing. They have a rapier and a scabbard, and that scabbard is just tattered to heck. They are somewhat new to appearing and doing work in the Thieves Guild. They kind of appeared, did a thing, vanished a bit, came back. They are polite, direct, but a little bit standoffish. They're definitely not joining for drinks after. They're very abrupt and blunt sometimes. But those of you who have seen them on the job definitely know they can turn on a charm when they need to. They just don't seem to bother with it most of the time. But they're definitely not working on connections, or they don't seem to be trying to, like, climb the ladder or anything. It very much seems like this is a means to an end.
Yeah, your motivations, I like that, though, because, like, they're not clear, but I don't know.
Maybe mysterious. They will come later.
Yeah. Now, is Vymond a thief?
They're actually a sentinel.
Oh, what does that mean?
It's kind of like a cleric-ish.
Very-ish. They are also not from the city. They are from a smaller town just outside the city, which is why they have a little bit of an accent, you would assume.
Swampmore? They're from Swampmore?
Yes, I'm from Swampmore. It is not as nice.
Not as nice, no.
Not as nice.
That's awesome. All right, it's late afternoon in the Tangle. The sun has gone down and the lights have been lit. All of you are showing up to meet for the first time for your first job. Vineman, please tell us how you show up to the rendezvous point.
Yeah, I think we see this shadow separate from the dim alleys in the Tangle and followed shortly by another shadow, as Vymond, even going into the score, is still in the nice coat and very much looks out of place in this and has clearly caught some attention. They turn a corner, pause, the shadow follows. There's this sudden flurry of whispers, and you see this person following them run the other direction as Vymond steps around the building and moves into place, waiting for everyone, just posting up in an alley. They reach into a pocket and pull out a ornate and beautiful but worn set of tarot cards and start absently shuffling hand over hand, just waiting and watching the shadows with these pale blue eyes, and are very much on guard because they've already been followed once tonight.
Okay. All of you are in this alleyway, and Vymond comes around the corner, as they said, and another gentleman suddenly appears not long after, as if hiding in Vyman's shadow. Shorter man, stocky, probably in his 50s, looking very nervous. And he says, it doesn't matter what my name is. You're here because of me. And I need you all to break into this vault for me. It's just a few doors down here in the Tangle. It's an inn. They've closed for the night. And I was in there a few days ago and I lost a card game and they took all my money and my family ring. And I can't go home to mother without that ring. He looks over at Tessa and goes, "You understand," and then continues and says, I just, I'm willing, you can have everything else in the safe. I just need the ring, and then I can give you each 100 coin a piece if you're willing to do. I'm sorry. I'm just very nervous. I've never interacted with
what?
Choose your words carefully.
Professionals such as you.
Raises eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Now, can you tell me the inn? Is it the Burnished Brioche?
Yes, it is.
I do know the owners.
It used to be Patty's Poutinerie at one time, but it's no longer that. Like my callbacks.
Yes, so good. Very well.
Any other questions?
I know the place. Where are we meeting you after the project has been complete?
Well, I was thinking you could meet me in Harbor Approach. There's a place there called the Red Pig. It's a well-known establishment, and I don't owe anyone money there, so I think it'd be safe.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can you describe the person you lost to?
Her name was Eva. She has palish skin, very reddish. Like, she enjoys drink a lot. And she's a bit older, probably, you know, your 60s. Very good card player. Walks around with a cleaver, runs the establishment. So I think she uses the cleaver for both cooking and enforcement reasons, I'm believing. I don't know the full extent of her background. But she beat me with a full house. I just kind of caught me off guard. And I had already borrowed a little money from them. So they took umbrage and took my stuff.
Well, just a word of advice. Don't play cards in the tangle. You never know if someone's good at cards or if they're just good at deception.
Don't play against the owner of the establishment. Have you not heard?
I am finding that to be very true. My main concern is my ring. The money, of course, is nice to have, but I need that ring back so that, like I said, Mother doesn't get angry with me.
We've heard the story many a time.
I mean, I understand why you'd be worried about your mum, but ain't you a little bit old to be concerned with such things? I mean, your mum, shouldn't she forgive you if you say you're sorry? No?
Not with a signet ring.
Oh, so like, you know, part of your legacy or whatever.
Yes, my legacy. That's part of the problem. I don't know how it is for you all, but mothers tend to stick around for a long time. They don't go away. Even if they die, I think they're still around, you know? Floating in the astral plane, waiting to give us advice we didn't ask for.
Tessa has very soft eyes at that and puts like a massive hand on his shoulder.
Right. I understand. Sometimes it feels like, you know, they're living on, right, through us all. And that ephemeral quality you're talking about, right, is something that's really beautiful if you think about it. We'll get this ring back for you because it does seem to be quite important. And I feel like, you know, I do understand. You're right. I have a lot of loyalty to my family. And it's really a shame that you're going through such a tough time right now.
I appreciate that. I really do. Now, meanwhile, Vymond, you're standing there listening to him say this, and suddenly this spectral hand touches your shoulder, says,
why are you in such a terrible place? You should be over in Alderhall working on the plan. I didn't go through everything for you to be in the tangle.
Hey, Vymond. Kind of coughs, clears their throat, covers their mouth with their hand, and is like, part of it, trust. And they're going to take a half step forward and just say, just so we know, which house is that?
Oh, if you just go down the block, you'll see a big sign.
Which house ring?
It's House Sage.
We can just gather all the rings, bring them over.
I just want one ring, and...
I don't care what you want. You pay us for the rings, we give you the rings.
Okay. I'm okay with that, definitely.
Can I ask you a question that might be a bit personal?
Oh, we are taking forever.
That's okay.
Quiet.
All right.
You say your mom is hanging around and just the ephemeral state. You didn't get a statue?
No. I was just saying in general, sometimes it feels like mothers are always with you no matter what, just hanging on every single thing that you do, like a crushing, slowly horrible feeling of never being free kind of situation, depending on who your lovely mother is. That's just something that I think that some people understand and some people don't. She's very much alive, her and her six cats. They're there. Yes, six.
Vimond is nodding knowingly through this whole thing.
And just above game, just, you know, an Eversink, like, especially if you're a wealthy family, but I think it's any family.
Everybody has statues.
You usually have a statue that the spirit of the person goes into. And so, yeah. And it would be weird for someone to not have a statue of someone they loved.
You were going to say Kay?
As anyone who wanted to, like, overhear or notice the is more beyond welcome to.
I would love to notice, but, like, I feel like this is probably my first time meeting you all in person, whether I've heard of some of you. So you're all just a bunch of weirdos.
We could do a quick die roll. We could do, if you roll a one or two, you notice. Anything else, you don't notice. So for the other three, go ahead and give me a roll. And then you can keep it to yourself if you notice or not.
I'm going to go ahead and say I don't notice.
Okay.
That's just Tessa's vibe. Tessa's like, they need a cough drop. That's what Tessa's thinking.
That makes sense. All right. So this guy turns to you and says, well, I really appreciate all of the help that you're giving me, and I'll meet you at the Red Pig. I'm sorry, it's pretty late right now. Can we meet tomorrow night?
What? No, it's not that late.
Well, I mean, usually I'm in bed by the time that star has come out, and...
Mon ami, no, this is... Oh, you are quite the waste of everything. Sure, tomorrow night is probably fine. We can meet you there.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much, and good luck. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Please be quiet as you leave so as to not draw attention.
He walks into a bucket. Clatter.
Don't need any nobility out here doing nobility stuff.
Yeah, any nobility out here is up to no good, probably. So he quickly scurries off into the darkness, and you're left there in the alleyway to speak to each other for really the first time, because he interrupted you really quickly.
So after the beat, we confirm that sage there person has finally disappeared. Mirko will take off their overly large hat with the handful of feathers sticking out, put it on their chest and kind of, you know, give a bow of a flourish. Enchanté. It is a pleasure to meet you all. And he looks awkwardly.
Right, what's your name then?
Oh, my name is Mirko. I am from around. I am known as, you know, the thief that nobody sees. And then I'll, you know, tuck my hat into my shirt and it kind of collapses into itself like it's not a hat at all. And then I'm just like a regular, basic looking person. The eyes slide away when poor Mirko doesn't have their hat on.
A pleasure. My name's Reggie. You can call me Reg.
Vimont.
Enchanté.
I mean, I can see you. I don't understand. You're saying people can't see you, but I can see you.
Well, yes, but it's like you are looking right at me, and when you don't, it's more of a crowd thing.
Oh, like you disappear into a crowd?
Exact.
Good at escaping notice.
Oh, that must feel amazing. I'm always like a foot taller than everyone else, and it's really just, I don't know, gets in the way.
You don't blend in anywhere.
I mean, I did. My last job, lots of people were kind of tall. I had a whole suit of armor. Looked really cracking, honestly.
The watch? The guard?
Yeah. For, like, I don't know, 10 years?
And you are here now because...
Long story. Family is complicated, you know? I'm just doing my best. Try to make some money. But I'm very trustworthy. And I take my job very seriously, so you'll be happy to know. You know, I don't do that sort of thing anymore. I mean, I don't like to get involved in particularly sticky business, but if I have to, there I am.
They have like a big goofy smile on their face to be reassuring.
So sincere. Okay. Enchanté, mon ami.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you. I'm Tessa, by the way. Happy to be here. You guys all seem pretty accomplished. And in rather states of fanciness, I'm not very fancy.
It is not required for the job. Vyman is going to give a very curt, very sharp bow. Vyman, you may call me Vi if you must, but I do not prefer it.
And you do what?
I make sure things vanish, and I make sure that people don't notice.
You also do not seem to be from this place. What brings you here?
Gold.
Ah, you and I speak the exact same language.
Not sure you say many more words than I do.
That's very German of you.
Hi, I was raised by German au pairs. Military dad, traveling mother, German au pairs.
Oh, yeah, so good. Mirko will give a very curt nod to that.
All right, let's start talking about how you're going to accomplish your mission.
Yeah, because I will tell you this right now. My character is just like standing there really excited to just be included. Has no ideas or assistance for you.
Was considering having Vyman ask, like, can you be sneaky? Can you be quiet? Are you always this loud?
I mean, I can whisper.
Can you?
Yes, I can whisper.
Can you whisper with your feet?
Right. I mean, I can try. I've got quite a large set of feet. I'm a big person. But I can walk slowly, which is sneaky, I've been told.
I have a suggestion. Perhaps you stay out the door of the inn, and you watch for anybody that might interrupt our activities.
Mirko, that is the thing that I am arguably best at.
I looked at you and I knew. I just knew it, mon ami.
Thanks. Feeling good. All right.
Okay, so we've got Tessa's position as the lookout.
What are the rest of you going to do? What is the plan for this small heist?
Okay, I think then maybe the three of us should go into the office. We've got, you can both open safes. I know the owner. Perhaps I could talk. And you two steal.
Right, let's do this then.
All right.
Foolproof plan.
Foolproof plan. I'm sure nothing will go wrong.
I've done jobs with worse plans.
This seems very direct and simple. I like it.
You all head down to the tavern. It looks like it's been there forever. This is a great place to bring up that Eversink lives up to its name. The city sinks into the swamp about 8 centimeters a year. So many of these buildings have vast connected rooms. Some are flooded, some are not. There is a guild that works on trying to keep the city afloat and some of the older buildings from sinking down into the swamp too much. You can literally see that the floorboards are wet because they haven't. What they do is they tend to add levels onto the buildings, so they'll stack up, and in the tangle it's usually all wonky. And so they've stacked up all of these levels, and the level that's on the very ground with everybody talking and whatever, you can see the water seeping up through the bottom. So it's probably pretty close to them having to build a new level with a set of stairs that goes up to the next set of rooms for them to go into. But this is a tangle and you hold on to it as long as you can. They might wait until the water's at the ankle or a little bit higher before they really worry about it. Tessa, what are you gonna do? We'll start with you because you have the kind of lookout job. Where are you gonna post up?
I feel like rather than post up outside where I can't see anything, it might be better if I were inside to monitor and kind of just like lean against the wall sort of thing. Like, because of my shape and size, I don't think anybody would question like a bouncer looking person inside in pretty much anywhere other than like a private home. I feel like I can kind of just like lean and people are like, ah, we're safe. That person's not the problem, right? So I think that's what they do. They just kind of go inside, they keep an eye, they probably buy like an ale or something and then just wait I think what they do the best is listen. Everywhere they go, like, it's a bustling city. But what they like to do is try to listen underneath that, because that's usually where you can kind of hear any kind of dust-ups or troubles that are happening. So I feel like that's really what she kind of focuses on, rather than trying to just use, like, their eyesight.
That's perfect. And plus, you've got tactics of death. So, what? Yes, tactics of death.
That is so metal.
Which allows you to kind of size up people pretty well. And you're looking around the bar, and you see a couple of people that might be an issue. They might be a problem. Mm. Burly-looking individuals that haven't turned in their weapons for one reason or another at the card tables. And there's a lot of card playing going on. In fact, you figure maybe half the tables are poker, and maybe 25% of them are blackjack or something similar. A lot of gambling going on.
Do I see this pale woman that was described?
Yeah, she is actually behind the bar. She's cleaning glasses. She has on a white shirt that's kind of a V-neck that's dirty. There's some blood in there. It's a little crusty looking. She has an apron. You don't know what the apron's function is because it has failed. The apron is thick leather, so it's more of a butcher's apron. You know, not somebody cleaning glasses. Somebody cutting up, let's say, pigs. She is just cleaning stuff.
I like to imagine that this city also has, like, its own unique kind of gambling, like some kind of culture that was based around these statues that don't, I don't know, like, do the statues only have a spiritual meaning, or can they be gambled, or can we gamble other things?
And I think that would be considered, like, really disrespectful.
Yeah. Respectful.
It's more respectful to abandon them on an island than to gamble them away.
Okay. I wonder, like, what would be another, like, what kind of unique gambling could this place have? Like, the buildings are all about to collapse. I feel like if you were somebody, like, a construction worker, you would be making bank.
Just oh, yeah.
Fixing up places.
Never be out of work.
Oh, yeah. No, there's guilds. There's literally guilds of, like, gondola repair and house repair.
Yeah. No, that would make sense.
All I've got is the Monty Python. Built a castle in the swamp. Said it couldn't be done. Then it sank. And I built another one on top of it. And that one sank.
Oh, my God.
After the sixth one, it's, you know, it's good. But that's exactly...
Mexico City.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's the Isle of Manhattan.
So funny.
They keep finding more and more layers of things that were just built over.
That's my favorite scene in that movie, where he's just running, and then he's running, and then he's running, and then suddenly he's there. So you go in, and yeah, you notice, Tessa, that there is quite a few burly people playing cards, and this woman is behind the counter. And you see the door to the office right next to the bar. So I would imagine there's probably a sigh of relief that you're not trying to sneak in there, because she'd probably hear you.
I, like, wave her over.
What can I do for you?
Hi, yeah, so I was listening to some sniveling piece of a man talking about you took something off him.
I take a lot of things off a lot of men.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, as you should. I think he was small... kind of ratty, like, very,
Tommy?
Maybe? He didn't give me a name, which is, you know, strange to
begin. Sniveling, very sniveling, shorter. He's
crying about his mum.
Yeah, Tommy, that's Tommy. He bet a little too hard and, took a little bit too much money from the house. He's one of these rich fops that come in every once in a while and think that they're gonna live it up here and end up getting in over their head.
Yeah, like, they're better than everyone, right?
Look, it's hard with the nobility around here. You never know which ones are just have title and no money in the bank for you to, you know, dip into.
That's true, it's true. I just, I heard him complaining, and I just wanted to let you know, once you represent your establishment, and I raise my flagon.
When you raise up your mug, you realize just how much stuff is floating in the beer. It definitely looks like it is a thick malt with some extra ingredients.
Drink your bread, man.
Drink your bread.
I want to tell you that my intention is also to make sure that she is not listening to any...
That is... On. I figured. I clued into that. So while you're talking, we will see if they fuck up at all. So who's going to go through this window first?
I can.
Let's cover rolling real quick. You are using a six-sided die. For a general skill, you announce how many points from your pool you want to spend. So in this case, it's going to be stealth. If you have 8 points in stealth and you want to spend 2 points on this roll, then you say, I'm going to spend 2 points. Then you roll the die, add those 2 points to your result. And if it beats the target number, then you succeed. The usual target number is 4, but it can be higher. So I will give hints on what the target number is, but I don't usually say outright, this is the number you need to hit. That way you kind of have to figure out how many points you're going to spend for a roll. I'm going to say in this case, because the window is jiggly and there's a possibility of a cat somewhere in the vicinity, I'm going to say it's a little bit harder.
Don't forget the cat is blind and deaf.
Yeah, but he plays a really mean pinball, so.
Oh, yeah.
And so just so I'm clear, you either spend points or you roll, or do you roll and then you can add points?
You say how many points you want to spend and then you roll. If you do not say how many points you're going to use, it's a straight up roll and you just get what the die says.
Okay, so I will spend 3 points in stealth.
Okay.
And that's a 4 on the dice.
Awesome. Nice. So tell me how you avoid Tiger, who's sleeping right underneath the window on the floor.
I like cats. I think I go over and I put a foot down and I feel something give the tiniest bit and pull back. And then you watch them readjust so that they're like folded over in half and are kind of scritching Tiger and trying to coax the cat to move out from under the window to make it easier for everyone else to get in.
He gets up, leans into the scratch pretty good, just maybe waits there longer than a 10-year-old cat would.
Get right at the base of the tail to make him stand faster.
He stretches up and walks away out of view. I'm going to say that this does make it a lot easier for everyone else to get through. So it's up to you if you want to spend points on this roll. It's a gamble. Who wants to go first?
Reginald, if you'd like to go, I don't mind bringing up the rear.
Sure. Okay, I will spend, because I know how I roll, I'm going to spend 2 points of stealth. Ooh, and I rolled a 6. What the heck?
Ooh.
Yeah, use those up now.
Well done.
Mirko, what'd you
All
get?
Right. I'm going to also spend 2, just because I'm kind of afraid. I needed that to 4 total.
Okay. So you're all inside the office. No one outside heard you. Michelle, I believe Reginald was going to break into the safe. How many points are you going to spend on this?
Medium hard. What is it?
It looks like an average safe. It's, you know, the tangle. You're betting that she feels that no one's stupid enough to steal from her kind of thing.
I'll spend 3.
Okay.
And I rolled a 2, so 5.
Okay. So you crack it open and you see a ton of gold in little pouches, and then you see the signet ring in there as well. And then there's this one larger pouch that looks really dark. It looks like the leather has been stained really bad.
Are you in yet? We don't have all night.
Yeah. Don't know if I want to touch this bag, but let's grab the smaller bits and the ring. This one, it's giving off a weird feeling.
What? Don't take all of the coins. Eva is not the worst person. She is okay enough. We don't want to, like, rob her empty or clean.
Right. Right. Maybe one bag for each?
Yes. Yeah, we know that is a good idea, mon ami.
So I just take...
Vimond would like to just kind of wordlessly lean in and look at the bag that you were saying you've got bad vibes about and see if it can... Not necessarily picking it up, but pulling it open to see if we could peek at what's inside.
Like loosening the drawstrings.
Okay. Curiosity gets the K. And you open this thing up and there are a bunch of fingers in there of different levels of decay. And a couple of them, you can hear them in you specifically, Vimond. You can hear them say to you,
help us. We've been attached to this bag. We can't find our families. Help us, please. Please. Please.
And it gets very loud in your head.
Vimond is leaning in, kind of looking, sees the fingers, immediately scans them to see if there's rings on any of them.
There are some rings.
Are any of them signet rings?
Yes.
Heck. You see them just wince as, and a hand goes to their head as if a headache or something's loud, and they're going to reach into this bag of fingers and just try to see if there's any familiar signet rings.
Okay. You're feeling around in the goo and you feel a couple that are signet rings. Do you just want to take whichever? You can't tell what houses they're with.
Yeah, I'll grab one or two as the voices are getting louder.
What do you think you're doing? Give me my ring back. It's the only thing I have anymore.
Just grumbling under their breath.
When you cinch up the bag, you hear muffling for a moment and then sighs of disappointment. Outside, Eve turns to you, Tessa, and says, "Did you hear that?"
Did I hear what?
I think I heard the sound of... It's hard to explain.
I mean, I can't hear much under those fucking brutes over there. And I point to, like, the most boisterous table.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Hey, and she calls over. She goes, "Everybody, be quiet." And the room just goes silent. And you all in the back notice that the room goes silent. So here's what we're going to do. She's going to check at some point because she has a connection to this bag and is why she keeps the bag. You all know that it's completely silent. You need to get out of this place quickly, okay? It is going to be difficult because you have to decide fast or stealthy. How does each person want to do this?
What would a fast roll be done with, like, athletics?
Athletics, yeah.
I'm going to do this fast.
Yeah, me too. I've gotten our four little bags and the signet ring, you know, probably in my inside coat pockets, which I probably have many. And yeah, I want fast.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Vimond, like, shakes goo off their fingers. These two rings clasp. It's like, we should leave quickly.
All right, cool. So everybody in the back needs to give me a roll. And this is a little bit more difficult. So spend points accordingly. Tessa, do you want to do anything as everyone's being silent? Do you edge towards the door at all? Or do you get ready to lunge at Eva to keep her from going and back? Like,
I don't think Tessa has a lot of faith in their ability to, like, flirt with this lady or to distract her in that way. So I feel like they're ready to spill their drink, whether that's like a sneeze, whether that's like challenging, like one of the dudes that's over there and being like, "Hey, the lady said to be fucking quiet," and like point at the guy.
I am being quiet.
That's really the plan, I think, depending on what Eva's move is.
Okay. Well, let's see how this roll goes. Let's start with B. What did Mirko make?
I got a total of 6 after spending 3.
Okay. That is cool. You're good. Vimond.
I am spending 3, and that's a 4.
All together?
All together.
Ooh, we'll be back to you in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I spent 3, and I rolled a 5, so 8.
Okay.
Ooh.
So I'm... we never said who was running for the window first, so I'm going to roll a die to figure out who's out before Vimond makes their mistaken run. Let's see. Michelle is 1, B is 2, Vimond is 3, 4 I'll reroll. Okay, wait, that's funny. I actually have a 3-sided die. All right, so Michelle, you're first out the window. So Reginald makes it out.
So fast. Don't even see you go.
Mirko, you turn to see Vimond running towards the window. They miscalculate the jump and hit the frame hard. The frame makes this jittering sound that you had warned everybody against. Vimond, you go butt overhead and land on the wood outside, which is rotten. It breaks and you fall straight into the swamp. Reginald, you turn around and there's nobody there, but you just heard this horrible sound. Meanwhile, inside the bar area, Eve turns to Tessa and says, "See, I told you I heard something." She grabs her cleaver and starts stomping towards the office door. And that is where we're going to end this episode.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to lose a finger.
I should have grabbed you an extra.
Well, thank you guys so much for being a part of this. This was fun. Let us find out where all of you are and what you are doing. Let's start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. I have been Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at the Candace Marie. And everywhere else, you can find me at Candace Magnificent. Every other Saturday, I am on a cute queer pirate show called What We Do in the Shallows over on twitch.tv/Matihi. And you can also hear me on Beyond the Outer, the other 12-Sided Stories podcast, specifically for our Patreon subscribers.
Hello, hello. I've been your non-binary Busy Bee. You can find me on all social media platforms as BZelda _. I'll be on a YouTube channel called Six Sides of Gaming, where you can see me playing a bear and reading maps. It's really cool. I played with this guy named Ed Greenwood. Turns out he's Elminster. Honestly, had no idea.
Hey, all, I'm Kay Purcell. You can find me all across the internet at kdamphyr, KAYDAMPHYR, and at my production company, Chaotic Wholesome Presents, where we do all sorts of TTRPG stuff, including the Table Talk Show. And you can find me every other Wednesday at the Emergency Power Podcast, which is a Starfinder podcast. And it is also very queer and very disastrous. So thank you all.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all the different socials. You can find the show at 12-Sided Stories, the number 12-Sided, and then Stories on all the different socials as well. Come join us on our website, which is 12-Sided Stories Written Out, where all our links are, and you can find all our other shows and cool things going on. And join us on our Discord, where we talk about gaming and the different shows and all that good stuff. If you'd like to help out the podcast, definitely join us over on Patreon, where we have, like Candace said, a Mothership game going. We have a ton of other games that we have played in the past. There is a lot of stuff to enjoy with your subscription, and it helps out us a great deal. Thank you to the players again, and we will see you next time on more The Candlestick Crimes. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.